We appreciate your giving. Let's bow our heads for the word of God. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, pray that you would hide me beneath the cross. God, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. Let it be all of you, less of me. Let the people be eternally touched and blessed. Let no one's coming be in vain. And let our hearts be elevated to the place we need to be so that we can cross out of this year and prepare ourselves to move into another year. We've come through many obstacles and trials. You've kept us and brought us this far, but there's more to do. For that, we give you praise and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you grab your Bibles? And repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Pastor Andre, deliver this word. I'm ready. In Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together this morning. Amen. I'm ready. You're ready. Thank God for the praise and those who are praising. I can feel the Spirit of God in the house, and I thank God. We went live just a little early so that the people who are watching us can get a little bit of the praise and feel the anointing that we were feeling. Amen. So I hope that everybody's heart is ready for the word of God. That's what worship does. Worship gets our hearts ready for whatever is deposited afterwards. So when you worship God, you are opening up your heart for whatever's next. So I would encourage you to worship at home. Amen. Not just here, but worship at home, in your cars, whatever way you can worship, because it prepares you for what God has for you. All right. We're going to put this graphic up on the screen, this video graphic, and it says Advent, the season, or a season of expectation. Repeat that with me. Say Advent, a season of expectation. One more time. Advent, a season of expectation. In other reformations, I would say, they use something called Advent. Advent is the four Sundays leading up into Christmas. It's very akin to Lent, where people do, many Orthodox or Catholic churches do that leading up to Easter, and Advent is that which leads up to Christmas. In our charismatic Pentecostal background, we didn't make much mention about Advent, and it's not something I'm really planning on focusing on today, but I want to use that to go where I want to go today. And so I'm going to break that word down, and then I'm going to set it up, and then I'm going to show us our new series. We're moving into a new series that'll carry us the next 3 weeks, but it's based off of this word Advent. So I want to put this definition up. The Oxford English Dictionary gives the definition of Advent as the arrival of a notable person or thing. And so what they're doing, they're thinking about the birth of Christ and Christmas. And the reason why I don't always tie it into that, because my study leads me to believe that Christ was not born in December, and for many reasons that people celebrate it. So I try not to make too much emphasis, because let's be honest, Christmas is about gifts and family. It really ain't about God. Now, we can make anything about God because we're Christians. But if we look at society, folk ain't thinking about Jesus, amen? They're thinking about Santa and Saint Nick and many other things. And I'm not necessarily mad at them, but I don't necessarily want to use Christian time to talk about things that are basically pagan, to be honest. However, I know how to use some of that to point us to where we need to be. And so I'm going to read the definition as they put it back up. The Oxford English Dictionary gives the definition of Advent as the arrival of a notable person or thing. I want to put this saying up. The word Advent comes from adventus, which is Latin, and adventure comes from adventurus. From this, we could conclude that the period of Advent concerns the arrival of a new adventure in whatever form this may end up taking. So what I want to do is I want to use the idea of Advent and I want to talk about adventure, because I believe we are on a journey when it comes to our walk with God. And this is an advent of a notable person or thing, because every day is Christmas for us, because the fact that he was born means something to us. So I'm going to move from advent to adventure. And if you've walked with God, you've been on an adventure. You might as well put your seatbelt on and strap in, because living for God is an adventure. There's highs and there's lows. There's ups and there's downs. There's sideways and upside downs and corkscrews. But at the end of the day, all of your good days outweigh your bad days. So it's not a bad thing. It's an adventure. Why do I look so happy? Because I'm on an adventure with my God. Whether it's Christmas or Easter or some other day, it makes a difference. Every day is an adventure with my God. And so I am anxiously awaiting his second arrival or his return, when he's going to wrap things up. But in the process of me waiting, let me go on this adventure. And I want to grab some people to be on the adventure with me. I don't want to be one of those Christians that look like I'm sucking on sour lemons. I want to look like I'm excited to be in what I'm in. Because, see, you may not be excited because God may not have rescued you as much stuff as he's rescued me from. But he's brought me a mighty long way. He lifted me up out of the muck and mire. I'm so glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm so glad I'm delivered and being delivered. This is an adventure. This is a season of Advent, but every day is an adventure. Now, part of the reason that makes it an adventure is we have an enemy, and our enemy ain't playing with us. Our enemy doesn't like us, and so that makes it an adventure, because we got battles we have to face. We've got obstacles we have to face. We got issues we've got to go through. But what I've learned out, there's nothing in this life can keep me down unless I let it keep me down. I'm just really trying to set this. I'm gonna put something else on the screen. It says this: the build up to Christmas during Advent often entails a tense mix of excitement and stress, because most people are stressed about the gifts they have to buy and the things they have to do. And I would encourage you not to get stressed out and not to get debted out, because you got to learn how to live another day. Now I'm not here just to dog Christmas, because of the giving spirit. There's a lot of good things that come with this. It's a lot that comes with it. But if you get caught up in the world's way of doing things, you're going to get stressed out, especially in COVID. How am I going to get everything I need to get, and how am I going to stand in line and have to 6 feet? Don't get stressed out. If you're on an adventure, you got enough stress as it is, just living day to day. Don't let anything that the world does stresses you out more than necessary. One scripture says that each day has its own evil. Each day's got enough trouble. Why add extra trouble to it? Just because it's Christmas, don't add extra trouble. Because guess what? December 26th is coming too. After the 25th is over, you still got to live for the 26th. And you got to live for the 27th. And some of y'all are paying on November 27th of what you bought last Christmas. You stressed out because you're doing too much. You got to grow to the place that folk will love me whether I can get them a gift or not. And if they don't love me, that's their problem. You got grown kids mad at you because you ain't giving up for Christmas. But I carried you for 9 months. And you was in my house for 22 years. How you gonna have an attitude with me right now? Some of y'all need to make yourself the Christmas gift. You've done for everybody else. It's time to do for yourself. And then some of y'all, you need to give to other people, because everybody's been given to you.
But the point is that do not take extra stress because we are in an adventure.
All right, let's go to the next thing that I have up here.
Before Christmas passes us, I want to use this Advent period to embark upon a new adventure. We're starting a brand new series, and I want to use this mindset of Advent, which is waiting for an arrival. And once again, I'm not here to knock Christmas per se, because if you're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus and everybody's doing it on that day, you might as well do it too. You can celebrate God whenever you want, however you want. If you want a nativity scene as big as the Empire State Building, go out and buy you one. I ain't gonna dog you out. However you celebrate God, it's okay with me. But if I decide not to celebrate it that way, don't be mad at me. You can do what you want. But what I want to do, I want to use this time to embark us on a new adventure. And this new adventure is what I'm going to call this. I'm going to call it Adventures in Praise. Adventures in Praise. Our new sermon series for this week, this month of December, is Adventures in Praise. That's why I believe the praise was a little high this morning, and you felt like praising God. And I had set up that our news reel that my son did was to happen right after praise, but y'all was praising so heavy you almost couldn't even hear him do the news, because we have learned if I'm still here in the middle of a pandemic, I got something to praise God for. And so I want to set up something called Adventures in Praise. And this is what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks, starting with this week, and we're going to put it up. Psalms 96, Psalms 97, and Psalms 98. We're going to be working from these three psalms the next 3 weeks, starting this week with Psalms 96. These are known as the Advent Psalms. They're known as psalms that get us prepared for the arrival of Christ. But since we are always expecting God and expecting his return, I want to take each chapter and I'm going to preach a message off for each chapter. And each time it's going to be called Adventures in Praise. So this is Adventures in Praise part one, starting at Psalms 96. And we're going to work through that just like a Bible study, just taking everything we can out of this. And as I preach it to you, you're going to see more in it. There's so much in it. The word of God is exhaustible, means you can grab so much in it and so much out from it. So I encourage you throughout the week to revisit Psalms 96 and see what God is saying to you through it. But I'm going to give us a little something to kickstart the Adventures in Praise. Huh? Anybody feel like praising God this morning? Before we read our first verse, how about we just practice it right here? Come on, somebody take about 30 seconds and just praise God. Hallelujah. Huh? If God been good to you anytime, just give him a little praise. If he's made any way for you, just come on, about 30 more seconds of praise. The Bible says that everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, go ahead and praise the Lord, because he's worthy of the praise. Amen. Go ahead. That's good. That sounds good and that feels good. Now, saints, throughout these 3 weeks, I want you to do that. Not in church. I want you to take some time to have just a praise break, just you and your God. Now, somebody may think you're crazy, but don't worry about that. You might be in the middle of the mall and feel like sticking your hands up in the air. Because if you're still breathing, you got something to praise God for. Let's start with Psalms 96 and verse 1. There's 13 verses in this chapter, and I have about 8 points going through these 13 verses. So let's start with Psalms 96 and 1.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
There's nothing wrong with having an old praise. There's nothing wrong with having an antiquated praise. But you need to be in a time where you sing to the Lord a new song. You need to praise God for new things. And why? How can I praise God for new things? You praise him for stuff that hasn't even showed up yet. See, if you're praising him for stuff that you already have, that's old stuff. That's what he's already done. Praise him for what hasn't been done yet. Praise him that all your kids are saved. Praise him that all your bills are paid. Praise him that your body is acting like it's supposed to act. Sing to the Lord a new song. Get a new song in your spirit. Let's put up point number one. Point number one, let's get back to singing to our God, not just about our God. The song says, sing to the Lord. See, we come to church and we hear the praise team sing about God. But when we go home, we never sing to God. After they get done singing about God, you're supposed to take those songs and sing to God and sing to the Lord a new song. You got to get to the place that you wake up in the morning with a song in your spirit and you sing a song to the Lord. In other words, this is not about how it sounds, because I'm not singing to nobody else or for nobody else. I'm singing about the God that put breath in my body, put a tongue in my mouth, put a brain in my head, put a pep in my step, that put clothes on my back, that put food on my table, that put a roof over my head. I gotta sing to the Lord a new song. A song that nobody, it's not for nobody else. This is for me and the Lord. And once we go through this series of praising, adventures in praise, nobody will have to prompt you to praise God. When you pull up on the parking lot, you'll be praising God. We might have to come knock on your window and tell you to come inside, because you're having such a time praising the Lord where you are, because it's time to sing to the Lord a new song. Amen. Let's look at the next verse, Psalm 96:2.
Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day.
Day after day. Let's put up point number two. Let's get back to making it a daily habit. Not a Sunday morning habit, but a daily habit. Every day is a day to praise God. This psalmist wrote it, and the praise team just sang it. You deserve it. He doesn't just deserve it on Sunday at 11 a.m., but he deserves it every day. Every day that I'm living, he deserves the praise. So I'm going to praise God today and tomorrow. I'm going to praise him Sunday and Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and even on Saturday, I got a praise in my spirit, because he's been just that good to me. And he's been just that good to you. Get back to a daily habit of saying, praise your God and thank you, God. And I appreciate you, God. And you're good to me, God. And thank you for the birds. And thank you for the dogs. And thank you for the trees. And thank you for my husband. And thank you for my kids. And thank you for my pastor. And thank you, God. It's easy to complain. It's easy to pout. It's easy to fuss, but sometimes you have to understand it's easy to praise the Lord. Because there's been, Sister Fanny, there's nobody in my life that's been as good to me as God has been good to me. Now, you don't have to always be radical. It may be radical, but it could be as simple as thank you, Lord. That's why I used to like the song that we used to sing sometimes at the end of the service and say, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I don't want to be like one of those lepers that when I got my healing, I walked on my way. I want to come back and say, thank you, Lord. And I want to make it a daily habit. Thank you, Lord. When I'm driving down the road and going to work, since I travel the highway, when I see a wreck on the other side of the highway, the first thing I do is pray. And the second thing I do is say, thank you, God. Because number one, I want to pray for whoever was in that wreck. Number two, it could have been me in the wreck. One songwriter said, it could have been me outdoors with no food and no clothes. But let's be honest, for some of y'all, it was you outdoors with no food and no clothes. But thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you for your love, and thank you for your power, and thank you for your protection every hour. Let's get back to making it a daily routine. Put point two back up there. I'm going to read it again. Let's get back to making it a daily habit, a habit of praising God. Psalms 96:3, we're going to read that now.
Declare his glory among the nations. his marvelous deeds among all people.
Now, it's easy to holler in church. It's easy to thank God in church. But it says, let's declare his glory among the nations. Deliver me from Christians who only save in church. But outside of church, they won't talk about God. No, you can't stop me from talking about God. I talk about God on Twitter. I talk about him on Instagram. I talk about him on Facebook. I talk about him on Snapchat. I talk about him in my neighborhood. I talk about him on my job, because I want to declare his glory among the nations.
Let's put up point number three.
Hey, something, one of them babies back there is helping me preach. I love it. Point number three, let's refuse to be ashamed of God's work in our lives. In Romans, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Stop being ashamed of what God has done in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to read it again. Let's refuse to be ashamed. Now let me pause and slow down just a second here. And would you put the camera on me just for a second? Because I want the people to see me real good, not just the scripture. I want you to understand that some things, and I'm talking to y'all, but I'm talking to the camera as well, because I believe there's somebody out there that need to hear this. I don't want you to be ashamed of the blessings that God is getting ready to put in your life. Sometimes, because we're so concerned about haters, we don't always want to tell what God is doing. It's time out worrying about haters. If God has blessed you, wear your blessing big and wear it good and tell somebody, God been good to me. You ain't got to hide your blessing. If you got a big house, tell somebody you got a big house. If you got a brand new car, tell somebody you got a brand new car. If you got engaged, tell somebody you got engaged. Don't be ashamed of what God is doing in your life. Now, let me turn a little corner. Sometimes it's not just about the material things, it's where he brought you from. See, we don't always want to tell where he brought us from, because some of the places he brought us from was so bad. But don't act like you just mad at the homosexual and you used to be one. Tell people that God turned me around. I used to be mixed up in some stuff, but God done delivered me. And God is working on me. Don't be ashamed of what God is doing in your life and what he's done. That's why I don't mind telling you what I've been in and what I've come out of, because the only reason why I got in it, because I was a fool. The only reason why I got out of it, because God looked past my foolishness and looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And like a lasso with his love, he pulled me out. The Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. If God done snatched you out of the fire, you ought to tell somebody what God has done. That man don't make no sense. Running around cheating on his wife. Tell how you used to cheat on your wife, and somehow God done put your marriage back together. Y'all should have cut each other a long time ago, but God stepped in the middle of your marriage and held it together. You need to tell somebody what God has done in your life. You don't have to tell everybody, because everybody can't handle everything, but tell somebody. And when you tell it, don't tell them that it was the 12th step that did it, even though you used the 12th step. Don't tell them it was the therapist that did it, even though you used the therapist. Tell them it was God that used the 12th step to deliver you. It was God that anointed the therapist to talk to me. It was God that got inside of the pill to help the pill alleviate the pain in my body. It was God that got in the flu shot to help me keep from getting the flu. It was God that did it. Adventures in praise. It's time for us to praise the Lord. All right, let's move on. If you can tell, I'm just a little bit excited. I ain't preached in a couple weeks, and I feel like preaching. I got a friend of mine. He invited me to go to Dayton, Ohio, and preach for him this Sunday morning. And I said, I appreciate the offer, but my saints will kill me. I ain't preached for them in a couple weeks. I ain't gonna do them like that. You ain't gonna choke me this Christmas season. I'm preaching at home at Deliverance Temple. Cause even though there's mega churches around the world, there's no church like Deliverance Temple. And I want to preach to my people. that even in the middle of a pandemic, they've still been giving their tithes and that they've still been coming to church. We paved a parking lot in the middle of the pandemic. We redid our bathrooms in the middle of a pandemic. I want to preach you some Deliverance Temple folk who live their vision every day.
Amen. All right, let's go to verse 4:96-4.
For great is the Lord.
Oh, wishy-washy is the Lord.
Great is the Lord.
Okay, what?
Great is the Lord.
Read some more.
And most worthy of praise.
Most worthy of praise.
He is to be feared above all gods.
What? He's to be feared above all gods. It's interesting, the King James, or actually this is the New International, they use a small g. There's a lot of gods, and I don't mind you worshiping your God, but there's only one big G God. And he's to be feared above all other gods. Because some other gods, you have to make them with your own hands. But this God, he's the one that put breath in your body. He's the one that looked at a dark world and said, let there be light. He's the one that delivered you. Don't you give credit to nobody but God.
All right, let's look at verse 5.
For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
See, the gods of the nations, you got to make the God. You got to put the gold and the wood together and build them and then put them on your shelf and worship him. But this God, he made the heavens. What we don't understand, when we say he made the heavens, we think he's talking about heaven. But he made the heavens, which means the galaxies. See, we exist in the Milky Way galaxy, but there are billions of galaxies. And he controls them all. He knows them all. He told Abraham, like the sand on the seashore, I can bless you like that. I know every bit of every small, minuscule sand. I'm the one who can do it all. There's no God like this God. I don't have to dog your God. I just got to tell you, there's no God like my God. There's no God like Jehovah. He's Jehovah Jireh. He sees and provides. He's Jehovah Nissi. He has a banner of victory over his head. He's Jehovah Makadesh. He's the Lord that sanctifies. He's Jehovah Sakenu. He's the Lord your righteousness. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord that healeth you. He's Jehovah Roi. He's the Lord your shepherd. You can call him Jehovah. You can call him Emmanuel. You can call him Elohim. Whatever you call him, there's no God like this God. There's nobody like him. And here's one thing to make you understand. Most every other God, you got to do something for them. This is the only God that got in human flesh and came and laid in a manger. But not only did he lay in a manger, he got up and he did miracles and went to an old rugged cross and was stuck in a tomb, in a borrowed tomb, and was put down in the pit of hell. But he got up out of hell with power in his hand. And now he's at the right hand of the Father. There's no God like this God. That leads me to point number 4. Let's remember, we don't serve a rinky-dink God. Back in the day when my father would preach all the time, he'd say, we don't serve Mickey Mouse and we don't serve Donald Duck. This is not a figment of our imagination. This is God, 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 God. It's amazing because in our English, it shortens it to only 3 words, only 3 letters. But those 3 letters doesn't tell you who he really is. When you look at the Old Testament, he reveals who he is. There's not enough names to say who he really is. In the Hebrew, they were even afraid to say his full name. They couldn't say it because it was so much reverence. I'm trying to let you know there's no God like this God. And he deserves to be praised because he's worthy. Now, when I say he deserves to be praised, that sometimes you have to, what the songwriter said, you have to think back over your life. Because if you only look at your present, sometimes it may seem that God is not in action. Because sometimes God is quiet. But if you just travel a little bit down the road in your personal history and think about what God has done for you, you will be reminded. It'll bring it. You will be saddened that you ever thought he was less than what he is. All you got to do is think. All you got to do is ask God to bring it to your remembrance. Just some of the stuff he's done in your life. We would be here all day if I stopped right now and just did testimony service and just say, tell me three things God has done. When you work up the three things, you'll think of three more things. And when you think of three more things, you'll think of three more things and three more things and three more things, because he's never stopped being God in your life. And he's never stopped being good in your life. When times were bad, he was still good, because he's still God. When me and my wife were having miscarriages, he was still God. Still God. He was still God. But God, not only did he bring us babies, but he brought me babies that don't do nothing but bring home A's and B's and more A's. Now my mama, I got to talk about it. Lately, I've been talking about her, preaching on her. Lately, I've been having to tell on her. But before the pandemic really hit, my son Draylen had a birthday party at our house. And my mom had the audacity to bring one of my old report cards to my house to show my son how much better he's doing than I'm doing. I'm like, what kind of nerve is that? But when I looked at the report card, I was ashamed of how bad it was, how bad it used to be. But here's the thing. God will give you something you don't even deserve. I don't deserve an A student, but God know how to do what. Oh, my God. Because he's God. And let me tell you something about your kids. Don't you give up on your kids. All they need to do is run into a dose of God. One dose of God can take crack out of their mouth. Don't you give up on your babies. God is still God. And since he's still God, he's still good. Come on, we ain't done this in a long time. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Let's read some more. Let's look at verse 6.
Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
Now in this sanctuary, we got TVs and lights. We got fans and cameras, and that's nice. And I thank God for the things we have. But in his sanctuary, he got strength and glory. You missed it. He got strength and glory. In other words, he didn't have anything human in his sanctuary. His sanctuary is so above our sanctuary, but he brings his sanctuary down and inhabits our sanctuary. God is so good. Do you understand that he doesn't have to leave heaven to come to our rinky-dink services? God has blessed us. We got some nice stuff, but we don't have the best church in the land. But even the best church, the most mega church, the biggest church, do you know how small that is for God to leave heaven to come inhabit a church? But he loves his people so much. You can be in a storefront church and he'll come all the way down from heaven and get in the middle of your service. You and three folks in a tambourine, and the Spirit of God will still fall, because he's a good God and he's worthy to be praised. He's got splendor and majesty. He's got strength and he has glory. That brings me to point number 5. Let's recognize it's a privilege to come before our God. Now, I know sometimes we get in lazy street and slothful street. And the last thing we want to do after we've worked all week long is to come to church on Sunday morning. The game is on and this, that is on, and I had to work Saturday. I understand being tired, but let me tell you something. It's a privilege to come before our God. It's a privilege to walk through those doors. It's a privilege that you walked in by yourself and didn't get carried in here. On Friday, we're going to carry somebody out of here in a casket. You better thank God that you didn't come in here in a casket and you didn't get brought out of here in a casket. It's a privilege to come before God. And if you're sitting at home and you're watching me online, it's a privilege to watch online and turn other stuff off and give God some time. It's a sacred privilege. Now, because we are not overly traditional and overly orthodox, we don't do a lot of traditional things. But don't forget, this is a sacred thing to come before God. I don't care what you wear. You don't have to wear a suit. You can wear jeans and a t-shirt. You can wear tank tops and shorts. But iron those tank tops and shorts. Wash them because you're coming before a holy God. I don't care what you put on. Cover your flesh. But this is a sacred thing that we're doing. God is good to us. And the reason why we gather to draw strength from each other. And if I come here and I come here somehow and I'm bowed down in my head, something about your spirit ought to lift me up. And I don't want to just point on the outer appearance. Let me talk about your inner appearance. Stop putting all that junk in your spirit. Because when you come before God, you're releasing that junk in the atmosphere. We don't need that in the sacred atmosphere. Sister Darlene thinks she's something making all that noise. Get that bitter junk out of your spirit because you're messing up the flow of God. It's not that she thinks she all that. You think she's all that because your self-esteem is so low. Before you come in the doors, get rid of all that junk. This is a sacred place. Some people sit up in church and hate each other. Now, I'm not talking about people get on your nerves. I'm talking about literally hate each other and you want to praise God. God said, how can you love me who you can't see? And then you can't love people that you can see every day. This is sacred. Now it's so sacred that if me and Darlene, if we really have an issue against each other, we need to work it out. If we can't work it out, we got to call the elders together. We got to do whatever we got to do because this is sacred. Why would I want God to come back and I'm holding hate in my heart against a brother or a sister? Now, I don't understand some of my brothers and sisters who voted for Trump. I don't understand it. I don't like it, but I'm not going to hate them. I may not understand it, but I'm not going to hate anybody because Martin Luther King said hate is too much of a burden to bear. Why would I come in a sacred place filled with hatred? Now, if you haven't been delivered and you're first coming in, I understand that. But if you've been saved 15, 20 years and you still petty, you still ugly, you still backbite, you still nasty, why would you come before God that's so sacred acting like that? Think about this. The next time you want to hate somebody, and the next time you think about you want to cut folk off, because every time we come to a new year, folk talking about all the folk they're getting ready to cut off. Sometimes you do have to cut folk off, but just think about this before you get them big scissors in your hand and getting the cutting folk out of your life. Think about all the times God should have and could have cut you off. Think about all the times that you said you would but did not. Think about all the times that you told him you was going to read the Bible and in the second verse you was and he still blessed you anyhow. Don't forget how good God has been to you anyhow. Some people think God is good to me because I'm good. But I'm not the fool. God is not good to me because I'm good, because I've been bad and God has still been good. I done messed up and God still anoint me to preach. God, this is a sacred thing. When I get up before the saints of God, I don't take it lightly. This is a sacred thing. It's a privilege to hold this mic and preach the word of God to you. It's a privilege to sit in the pews and hear the word of God. Do you know there's a country somewhere that they cannot live stream and they cannot worship God openly? They gotta hide stuff and smuggle Bibles. It's a privilege to do what we do. Don't take it for granted. All right, let's look at 96 and 7.
Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
This always throws me for a loop. If you just remember what we originally said, we originally said that his sanctuary, his heavenly sanctuary, is filled with strength and glory. But then he comes down here and he says to us, give me strength and glory. Wait a second. As a human, I don't have anything that I can give him that's greater than what he already has. But he loves us so much, he lets us give to him stuff that came from him. Let me see if I can explain this. When it comes to Christmas time back in the day, and I didn't quite understand it until I got older and got to doing it for my kids, but every Christmas, my father would give me and the kids and my brothers, my siblings, money to buy them gifts. And we would take the money and go buy gifts for them, thinking we did something. And half the money we would spend it at MCL eating. The other half we buy a gift. And we were so happy about our rinky-dink gift. But the older I got, I realized he gave me the money to buy him the gift. So really, if he wanted to, he could have bought something for himself. But he loved us so much, he wanted us to have a piece of it. So he gave us something just to give back to him. God gives us strength just to give back to him. And the strength that we have ain't worth a dime, but he loves us so much that he washes us and cleanses us up and then turn around and says, praise me, son. You ain't got nothing worthy of praising him, but he loves you so much, he lets you praise him with his own breath. He lets you worship him with his own thoughts. Because without his thoughts, I can't even think to say hallelujah. Without his breath, I can't even utter hallelujah. But he says, give me strength, but it's really his strength. Now, how dare I take his strength and do what I want with it? Uh-oh, I'm about to turn the corner. I ain't gonna stay here too long because I don't want y'all throwing rocks at me. But what if I take his strength and jump in and out of other folks' beds that I ain't got no business being in instead of being in the house of God? And then when I do that, instead of coming to the house of God, I'm so ashamed I run away from the house of God. No, pull the rest of the strength you got up out of that bed you ain't got no business being in and come in the house of God and say, God, I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. I'll do better next year. Help me, God, because this is your strength and it belongs to you. All right, let's look at verse 8.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court.
I don't know why they be raising offerings in church. I don't know why. Because God said do it. And everything you got belongs to him. He's just allowing you to share some of it so that it can bless somebody else. And guess what? When you get to heaven, because the Bible says that when you give, you're storing up treasures in heaven. So he's giving you stuff so that you can turn around, because you can't take this stuff with you. But he's allowing you to store something up in heaven so you have something over there. So stop fussing and do it. And guess what? If you go to a good church, they take that stuff and they spread the gospel. And anybody who gets saved, you get credit because you gave to the gospel that they heard. So God is so good that even when we think we are giving God a sacrifice, it's nothing but going on and blessing us in our future. Let's read the next verse.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
In King James says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's look at point number six. Let's remember to worship God, not just with words, but with our lifestyle too. Now it's easy to worship God with words inside the building, but what kind of life do you live? I'm not talking about having struggles and things that you have to deal with, because when God delivers you from stuff, sometimes the stuff don't want to let you go. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a lifestyle. If you have a lifestyle of always being evil, something's wrong with that. Don't come worshiping God and have an evil lifestyle. Have a bitter lifestyle. You should be growing and changing. And the older you get, the more humble you should be. There's nothing worse than an old fool. And there's nothing more worse than an old arrogant fool. Who's old and foolish, but too arrogant to know it. The older I get, it's amazing how wise my parents seem the older I get. It's amazing how dumb they were when I was their teenage, and how smart they are, because here's the thing, it's not that they changed, I changed. And the more you change, the more humility should come in your life. And realize you don't know a thing without God's help. I'm like a ship with what? Without a sail. If it wasn't for God, I couldn't do anything. I should be in a straitjacket. I should be at the hospital. I should be on Sister Teresa's floor right now. I've been through enough junk to lose my mind. But God held me together. I thank God he held me together. And I want to live a lifestyle that's pleasing to the God that rescued me. I'm not trying to please Sister Teresa. I love Sister Teresa, but I'm not trying to please her. I like Brother Donald. I like you being my armor bearer and bringing me my towel. Every time I wipe my sweat, he got something to do with it. But I'm not trying to please him. I'm living for an audience of one, and it's God Almighty. Because as a songwriter said, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, I want to bring you something that's worth that you can receive. I can't remember when it was, but my dad was mentioning something to me not too long ago, just talking about Cain and Abel. And how Cain got mad at Abel and killed Abel. All he had to do was give God something that he wanted. He got mad at Abel because God received Abel's praise. And here's the thing, people get mad at you just because you've given God what he wants. It don't take all that. Why are you so radical? You're not me, baby. Let me give God what he wants. I've been delivered from too much stuff to be quiet. You can praise God quiet if you want, but I gotta holler. God been too good to me. Don't bother me. Do it. You do it your way. Let me do it my way, because God's been good to me. If I want to run around the church, let me run around the church. Now, if you run and you fall and hurt yourself, don't sue me. That's what you wanted to do. You said God wanted you to do that, so don't come suing me. Let God should protect you. Come on, let's go to verse 10. Don't have much longer to go, actually.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
What?
The Lord reigns.
Okay. Oh, hold on. There's a song we used to say, the Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Not the Democrats reign, not the Republicans reign, not General Motors reign, but the Lord reigns. Not LeBron James reigns, but the Lord reigns. I threw that in for the bishop. The Lord reigns. Not my spouse. I love my spouse, but the Lord reigns. Everybody takes a back seat to the Lord reigning, which means the Lord rules. Read.
The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
He judges people's equity. Let's look at point number 7. Let's not put our hope in any system other than God. Only God reigns, and let's say so. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, if you understand me and you heard me preach, you understand I am happier to see Joe Biden and Kamala in office than I am Mike Pence and Donald Trump. I'm happier, but I don't believe Joe and Kamala reign. So I don't put my trust and my hope in them. By the second year, I could be mad at them too. I'm not putting my hope in anything but God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. He's the one. He's the one. He's the Alpha and the Omega. I got a little time to explain what that means. We say it all the time. But in the Greek alphabet, Alpha is like A and Omega is like Z. So what that means, he's the beginning and the end, and he's everything in between. When I'm up, he's Alpha and Omega. When I'm down, he's Alpha and Omega. When I'm broke, he's Alpha and Omega. When I'm wealthy, he's Alpha and Omega. When I'm healed, he's Alpha and Omega. When I'm sick, he's Alpha and Omega. And as long as I put my hand in the unchanging hand of the Master, he reigns, and my hope is in him. And I will say so. Do I want another stimulus? I sure do. But my hope is not in a stimulus. My hope is in the seeds that I've sown before my God. Stimulus or no stimulus, I'm still going to eat good, dress good, look good, drive good, smell good, because God is the one that blesses me. Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied, because my hope is not in anything but the one that reigns. Come on, adventures and praise. Just want to let you know how this series is going to go. We're going to have some fun praising our God these next 3 weeks. Psalms 96 and 11. Let's read that.
Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it.
Now he's talking about inanimate objects. Some of them are inanimate and some of them are living, but they don't have human life. He's talking about the heavens, the skies, the clouds, the stars, and then the earth, and then the sea, and all that is in it. Means everything in the sea. If you've ever been in the sea, you know there's not just water in the sea. It's a whole hierarchy of life inside the sea. Algae living and growing. There's sharks and there's small fish. There's jellyfish and seahorses. There's all kinds of stuff in the sea, and it all praises God. Let's look at the next verse, verse 12.
Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy.
Let the fields. In Indiana, sometimes we ain't got nothing but cornfields. But the Bible says even the cornfields are jubilant before God. See, when you see the cornfields and the wind blowing the cornfields, you think they're just blowing the cornfields. But that corn is crying out to God and saying, ain't nobody like you, God. The Bible says that the whole earth groaneth and travaileth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because at one time the earth was under the rule of men and women of God, but Adam and Eve messed up. So even the earth knows when God is around. The trees know when God is around. If you ever woke up early in the morning and it sounded like the birds was having church, I mean, they was chirping like they was anointed. Because the whole nature knows when God is moving. And let me just turn a quick corner. I'm not going to stay here long. Just a really small rabbit trail. Not an Apostle Mitchell rabbit trail, but a small, not even an Andre rabbit trail. Just a little small one. They talk about global warming, and I don't know what to think about that, but if the nature give God praise, I shouldn't be the one messing nature up. If you got a bunch of plastic bottles and there's a place where you can recycle them, don't put them in the trash. Don't throw them out your car. Don't litter. Put them where they go, because the earth needs us to do what it needs to do. Stop being so selfish. Now, I pay for my water, so I don't like when they tell me to cut the water off, because I paid for the water. But sometimes for the sake of the environment, take a shorter bath. Unless you're real dirty. Come on, take a long bath. But we can do better than what we've done. Because if we're kings and priests in the land, the earth should know that we work for them on the cause of God. So that's a rabbit trail. I ain't got time to get into all of it. But if you can do better, do better. Somebody say, do better. All right, let's look at... God want me to stay on there just for a second. I know sometimes you got to eat on the go. But don't throw your whole hamburger and bag all out the window driving down the road and talking about I'm a Christian. You on the back of your bumper sticker, it says, what would Jesus do? And you throwing big sandwiches out the window. You messing up the environment. You being a bad steward. You being a bad citizen. No, stop all that. Don't be having a bunch of stuff on your car if you're not going to live in a way that's pleasing to God and blesses the environment around you. Amen. It's tight, but it's right. And while you at it, put your cart back up at the grocery store. Stop just pushing it, let the wind blow it and ding somebody else's car up because you was too lazy to walk a few feet and put it where it belonged. And you talking about, I'm living my vision every day. Take that shirt off if you're going to act like that. All right. I'm about to have a Bishop Mitchell rabbit trail. Let me come on back in. Point number 8. If we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. So let's not let nature outdo us in this season. I'm not going to let a rock, a leaf, a bird, a praying mantis, a dog, a raccoon, a monkey. I'm not going to let anything outpraise me in this season. I know the stars are beautiful, but it won't outpraise me. I know a rainbow is beautiful, but it won't outpraise me. No, I'm about to praise God that everybody knows I'm the apex of God's creation. The trees are beautiful. The ocean is beautiful, but there's nothing more beautiful than a child of God praising his king. Don't you let nothing outdo you in this season. Last verse, and this will lead us to our last point. 96:13. Read that.
Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, For he comes.
I'm going to stop you right there. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. And this is what's happening. Before God comes back, he's shifting and altering things. That's why this is the first time in our lifetime we've seen a global pandemic, where it's affected not just a city, a region, a state, a country, but an entire globe. To let us know that we're more akin to each other than what we know. My friend over in South Africa, I was looking at his post the other day, and he was at a wedding, and him and his wife are wearing masks, because even several thousand miles away, the virus don't care where you live. It can cover an entire globe. Here's the thing you have to understand. Satan is not a creator. He's only a perverter. So he can only twist what's already done. He can't create it. So if a virus can cover the globe, God's glory can cover the globe. See, this is what Satan does. Satan sees God getting ready to do something. So he tries to run and do it first and try to mess it up. But all he does is clue us in to what's coming. So if a virus came and changed the earth, guess what? A revival's coming that's going to change the earth. And we're going to be right in the middle of the move of God that's going to shake the earth. God said, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And first he's going to shake it with judgment, but now he's going to shake it with righteousness and truth. And guess who's going to be in the middle of it? DT going to be in the middle of it. God getting ready to turn some stuff upside down and right side up. God getting ready to save some folk. Folk woke up a Satanist is going to go to bed and believe in God, because God's going to move and we're going to be right in the middle of it. All Satan doing is letting us know what is coming. So guess what? Let me borrow something from T.D. Jakes. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Oh, get ready for a move of God. Not a move of God around the world, but first a move of God inside of you. Let us create a space, releasing faith so God can move. And we will see the power of God, and we will know that he is God. He's God where at? First of all, in my life. Let me tell you my address. He gonna be God in 2700 West Woodbridge. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. God's gonna move in my house, a revival in my house, a revival in my spirit, a revival in my mind. And guess what? I won't be able to keep it to myself. I'm gonna have to tell somebody else. And the next thing I know, it's a revival in Donald, and it's a revival in Darlene, and it's a revival in Allen. It's a revival in Ella. It's a revival all around the world. And then guess what? It's going to start with you and I. Some of the worst forest fires started with the smallest cigarette butt. And somehow it caught fire. But the revival fires are coming. It may start with little small DT, because we're not really little small. We're really big in heaven. The demons know our name. Satan knows our name. And he's trying to pour water on us. He's trying to slow us down. He's trying to put some salt in our game. He's trying to slow us down. Because if we ever catch fire, if everybody catches what's inside this building, what's inside our heart, it's going to change our city and it's going to change this world. Somebody say, change the world, God. And if you want to, you can do it in me. And you can do it through me. All right, read 96:13, the full verse, and then we'll close.
Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness.
This is point number 9, and this is how we're going to close the first part of this series. Let's praise God for his judgment, his righteousness, and his faithfulness. He is coming to judge the world. And some people preach a whole bunch of doom and gloom. I know somebody that they say they're a Christian, but all they do is talk about negativity. And my nickname for them, I ain't told them out loud. I call them doom and gloom. Here come doom and gloom coming. Because all they want to talk about is how God going to judge the earth. But he's going to judge it with righteousness and faithfulness. So all he's doing, the scripture says he removes everything out of his kingdom that offends. But if you're in his kingdom and you're not offending, it's not a sad time for you. It's not a scary time for you. When you go to the store and your receipt comes back at 666, you ain't got to get scared and buy two more dollars worth of stuff. You ain't got to be worried about all that kind of stuff, because it's not going to affect you, because you're going to feel God's righteousness and his faithfulness. And guess what? When he judges you, he judges you with his love and with his mercy. Because all the time in this adventure and this journey you have with God, he's been cleaning you all the time, so you'll be ready. They say it this way, in that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. But guess what? Before that getting up morning, he's getting us ready right now. Every time you come to church, he's getting you ready for the rapture. Some people don't believe in the rapture. Listen, whatever God's going to do, however he's going to change from one age to the next, you're going to be in the middle of it. All you got to do is get yourself locked in to God. And as we close and move into our prayer, let me say it this way. There's only one person in the entire world that can take you out of God's hands, and that's you. Because once God has paid the price for you, and once God has put his hands on you, the only thing he won't do is, if you reject him, he'll let you reject him. People run around talking about abortion, but let me say this, God is pro-choice. He gives you the choice to choose hell if you want to. But why choose it when the price is already paid? And the reason why we have this praise in our spirit and we have this adventure of praise is because our God has made choice of us, and we have no intention of letting go of the God that got a hold of us. Paul said this way, that I may apprehend that which apprehended me. I was in the middle of a hangover when God said, you're going to preach my word. So I didn't grab God. God grabbed me. But since he grabbed me, I'm not going to let go. I got one more story to tell, and then I'm going to close for real. So there was this man, I told it before, but I think this bears repeating. There was this man who was working on a construction thing where they were climbing up the top of electrical poles. And they were doing the work. They were putting the things together. And you had these harnesses that you were supposed to use to hook on up at the top. But somehow when the man got to the top, he fell. And as he was beginning to fall, they looked and they seen that the man was holding on to the rope. And the wind was blowing him and moving him around. They called the fire trucks and they were trying to get the man down. Finally got the man down. They were scared because they knew that man was getting ready to fall to his death. And when the man came down, he was smiling. They was like, what's wrong with you? Weren't you scared? He was like, no, I wasn't scared at all. They was like, we seen you holding on for dear life. You mean you weren't scared flying up in the sky? He said, oh no, you couldn't see it from up there. But up there, I had hooked the thing around my waist and hooked it to the top. So I wasn't holding on to it. It was holding on to me. So it looked like I was going to fall, but it had me. And I'm here to let you know, I didn't get a hold of God. God's got a hold of me. And it may look like I'm losing my life. It may look like I'm losing my mind. It may look like I'm failing and I'm falling. I'm not holding God. God's holding me. And the reason why I'm praising God, he got a hold of me. And if God won't let go, I'm not going to let go. I'm going to hold on because he's holding on to me.
Let's bow our heads. Let's stand to our feet. And let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are holding us. It may look like we're holding you, but you're holding us. Now God, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice, both here in the building and on live stream, that does not know you in the pardon of their sins, I pray that they would say this prayer or even think these thoughts. God, come into my life through your son. Save me, touch me, deliver me, and most of all, hold on to me so I can hold on to you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen and amen.